So let's move to our study tonight, back to the church ages. Just to refresh your mind, we are just still in the second church age. We will finish few things in the second church age, and then we'll move on to the third church age today. So, just to go back to refresh your mind, we are in this second church age, the Smyrna church age. Just to refresh your mind, remember the parable in this second church age, the parable and the wheat and tares, side by side. So you find the light and the darkness, and we find here that now the decreasing light and the falsehood is increasing during this church age. And I remember telling you, as we went through that, the message that God has given to this particular church age, which lasted nearly from 170 AD to 312. And it says, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead, alive. Addressing the messenger of this age, Jesus added to the revelation of his deity given to the Christian church. Now he declares to be the first and the last. John in Revelation, Jesus affirmed his absolute deity, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. Lord Jesus Christ is not, John Jesus is not first, second, third person, and we explain to you this aspect of it. On the basis of faith in what he did, Jesus Christ takes our guilt and turns into innocence, giving us power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to rise above the dominion of the world. We explain this aspect. I think we came to this point and said about the church, I know thy works and thy tribulation. Jesus comforts his children with the knowledge that he knows the tribulation and the poverty they are called to endure in this age. He encouraged them with revelation that though they be enduring tribulation, suffering and poverty, yet they are spiritually rich. I explained to you during this age, because there is tremendous amount of persecution that came within and from outside. Within from what? The false brethren. Outside from the pagan religion. Smyrnian saints had their treasure in heaven, their portion on earth. The second age was tribulation and poverty. In the second church age, the elect God were under pressure from within and from without. And from within they feel the pressure of deeds of the Nicolaitans brought over from the first age, and pressure from the false Jews in the second, Jews in the synagogue of Satan. Now you remember, in this particular age, the true Christians have to face this, the synagogue of Satan, the false one in the midst, under religious antichrist anointing, introduced man-made order, the true church. And from without, the Christian church, both true and false one, being persecuted by Jews and pagans. The Christian faith was threat to Judaism, to the pagans, and Christians were rebuked to all paganism, stood for idol worship and the worship of emperors and things like that. So as I explained to you last Sunday, I'm just going through what I said to you last Sunday. The certain aspect of tribulation that they went through during the second, latter part of the second church age. And here it says, I know the blasphemy when they, which they say they are Jews and are not. They are synagogue of Satan. This perfectly describes the false Jews and the Satan synagogues in the second age. Many of these Jews are self-righteous men, but like Pharisees of Jesus' day, full of unbelief in their heart, and their fear of God was taught by precepts. What does it mean by the synagogue of Satan? The synagogue is not unlike our use of word church. It is a gathering together of people. The synagogue of Satan is the church under Satan control. So what happened was, during this period, the church step by step began to be under the control of the Satan and the deception. Deception is what people think they are doing a God service, when in reality their works are greed and dogmas, a dishonor to God, in fact called blasphemy. The same religious spirit is among us today. As you know, that false religious spirit is among us all. All churches, Christian denominations claim to be the original true church. You know, most of the churches, now we have so many churches today in this world, and each church saying they are the truth, they are the original. Pointing to a particular church or religious group, they proclaim that salvation is found only in the church or the group. One church claims to possess the keys of the kingdom which they have received from Peter. As you know, many people proclaim many things, and traditional churches always proclaim they are the truth, they have the original message. In this age, under Satan's influence, like Eve in the garden, they continue to add and take away from the things from the world. Now I'm talking about this period of second church age. During that period of 170 AD to 312, they began to add to the world and take things from the world. And therefore this becomes a Satan synagogue full of blasphemy, in which the deeds of doctrines of Nicolaitans were already deeply rooted. Few more years and his synagogue of Satan enthroned a man, their leader, and give him triple crown, falsely signifying his influence in heaven, hell, and so-called purgatory. So what has happened here is, in the second church age, by the time it came to end, a human leadership was in place, and that human leadership by and by will take control of the seed who was considered to be a God's children. You might call yourself a Christian because you are a member of a particular denomination or interdenominational or a non-denominational church, but that church membership does not make you and me a Christian. To belong to a church is to have the spirit of that church and to be like that church or what the church teaches. But to be a Christian is to be like Christ. You can become a member of the church, but you don't become like Christ. To become like Christ, you have to have the Word and His Spirit dwelling in you. If you indeed are a Christian, you will grow spiritually. There is more to being a Christian than just saying, I believe in God. A lot of people say, I believe in God, but that doesn't mean that you are a genuine Christian. You have to grow as a child of God. Going to a church also doesn't make you a Christian. Only a personal experience with Jesus Christ make you a Christ-like. And if you had that experience, you will walk in the light of His Word. He reveals to you by grace, and you will endure to believe, obey, and live by the Word. You know why? What happens when you come to the age of this end of the second church age? It is more becoming a membership of that organization. Experience was not considered the important to know Christ and to walk in the light of His Word. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, the Bible says. The blood will only atone for our sins. We will continue to walk in His Word. Failure to walk in the light take us out of from under the atonement. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all. This is what the genuine true Word says. In the Smyrna age, church became a hybrid mixture. It's a mixture of things. Even today, nominal church is a hybrid product. People say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal. It was not so in the beginning. None of them claim that kind of titles. You remember Paul denounces somebody here, I'm Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of this. He says, why are you? Did Paul die? Did Apollo die? You have been bought with a price. Price is the brother of Jesus Christ. So today we have sectarians, program, sector, various sectors, various organizations, various churches. Instead of saying what Bible says, the people just recite creeds, rituals, programs and ceremony have taken place of spontaneous praise in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost filled men preaching the Word and His power. Hybrid religion reject the portions of Word, saying it is not for this day. You know, even today a lot of people say this is not for this day. This what you say, or the miracles are not for this day. We don't have to do this, we don't have to do that. You know, when you say baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to do that, people say. They believe the church, not the Bible. No organized religion has ever had a life-giving word revival. Once they organized, they died. No hybrid product can produce life. So there is mixture that came into that place. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation for 10 days. Now, Revelation says, this is the message that was given. Fear none of those things thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison. You know, in the early churches, the true seed of God has to go through so many difficulties, like unlike what you and I have. And he shall have tribulations in 10 days. Thou shalt be faithful unto death. The message that Lord gave in this church is be faithful unto death. Because most of the people, the true seed of God, have to go through death. Saints in this age were persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, even unto death. They were fed to lions, given to gladiators. So, exactly as the Lord says, they were cast into prison. They were severely tried and tested. He spoke of a span of 10 days. You know, in the book of Revelation, in this church, in the last message was there was a 10 days of tribulation. And in there, they would suffer tribulation. This is a prophecy taking a day. 10 days means one day for a year. In the last 10 years of the Ephesians, Smyrna church age, second church age, the Roman emperor called Diocletian, the most cruel of the Roman emperors, he launched a 10-year reign of terror against the saints of God. This is what it refers to, 10 days of tribulation. The Lord was merciful to them and their suffering gave them the promise, be faithful unto death. So must of the Christians, most of the genuine Christians who did not agree with the organized religion was put to death. And this particular Roman Empire had 10 years of terror in identifying the Christians and killing them, putting them to lions. And that's why he says, Lord says, be faithful unto death. And he that hear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. He that overcometh shall not hear the second death. He says, he that overcometh shall not hear the second death. What is the second death? The answer is in the Revelation 20:14. And the death and end shall cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I explained to you last Sunday about the life after what happens. The overcomers in all ages receiving a crown of eternal life will escape the second death. In the flesh, death in the flesh comes to all of us except the raptured saints. But whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into lake of fire, the Bible says. Thank God for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the revelation of Him and His Word. That is, the Bible says, this is the Father's will which has sent me, Jesus said, that all of which He had given to me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise Him up at the last day. Now Jesus said this, the people whom God has given to His hand, entrusted to Him, He will raise in last days. He said, no man come to the Father except by my me, which has sent me, draw me, I will raise him up last day. So the true ones, the seed of God, God will raise in the last days. Then we come to today's study of the third church age. In the third church age, we find the parable. The parable here is the parable of the mustard seed. In Matthew 13:31-32 says, now we are in the Pergamos church age, the second parable. Now all these parables are referring to the kingdom of heaven. In other words, kingdom of heaven on earth. You know, a lot of people doesn't understand the meaning of these parables. They give different messages, sermons. But Jesus gave these parables in order so that it refers the lifetime, life and the time of the church, how will it manifest. See, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of the all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and become the tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. Now he says in the third parable, the kingdom of heaven is going to be like a mustard seed. which a man took and sowed in his field. Let us understand what God gives to us. Now this is just a picture of a mustard seed tree. Says, kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed would be grown. You know, mustard tree is a herbal tree. It's not a normal tree, it's a herbal tree. It doesn't grow that much. It's a herbal tree. It's a medicinal smell is there. There is a herbal smell in that tree which attracts many to it because of the smell that it has. Then here Jesus said, the man who sowed the mustard seed in his own garden represents the Son of Man. He sowed the mustard seed, the gospel of salvation, which bore life and grew into a small plant and small group of believers in the day of Pentecost. You see, in the first parables, Jesus takes the seed. Seed is the word, I said. So, wheat and tares, now we come to the mustard seed. The mustard seed is planted and it becomes a tree and it grows. Like day of Pentecost, when the word is given and it church, small church grew up and became a small group of believers. As it continued to grow, it produced more branches, more leaves. By and by it came, looked like a small tree as the church grew. The mustard tree actually an herb, and like all the herbs, it's a medicinal value. You know, the church which started in Jerusalem and moved out to various areas in Israel, and from then onwards it grows up and branch out to various areas like Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Rome, all over. It branches out. So the mustard seed is actually represents the church of God, which is the seed of God is given and it grows up. And as it grows up, it becomes a fairly big tree where birds of the air can come and plant themselves. So it has a certain medicinal smell and a medicinal value which attracts certain birds of the air to this tree. By the time the church has entered into a Pergamon church age, the beginning of the 4th century, the Constantine, the new emperor of Rome, embraced Christianity in AD 312, and after his vision of the cross. Constantine was a pagan emperor, but one day he was in his balcony and history says he had the vision of the cross, and the vision said, in this sign of the cross you will have win the battles. So with that, a Roman emperor who was opposed to the Christianity, who put Christians into lions and persecuted, suddenly take the other side and change, and he embraced Christianity, but in secretly he was really a pagan worshipper. And then he got his people to design a religion which can mix his beliefs as well. He pronounced Christianity state religion from 380 to 330 AD, and Constantine began to attack the paganism thereafter. Through the government, he often persuaded people to follow the law by combining pagan worship with Christianity. Because he was so much in love with the pagan worship, like worship of number of gods, worship of goddesses, Venus, Jupiter and things like that. So what happens here is those who were converted to the Roman Christianity, so they changed it to the apostolic Christianity, was now in the hands of the Roman emperor. And as a result of, you know, that time the Romans ruled the world, this attracted men of high societies and rank and the rich noble aristocrat and even pagan priests and religious leaders to find the shelter for their personal benefits. These were the birds that came and perched on the shelter. Now the tree grows, it branches out like the small church in the day of Pentecost. Number of people start adding day by day, and then it moves into all the areas of Jerusalem, Antioch, all over, and moves out to other areas in the Asia Minor. What happens is, what was the religion in those areas? The pagan religion. So most of these pagan, when Constantine officially recognized and officiate as a Christianity state religion, there were a lot of benefits that would people get. And as a result of that, many people decided to join this Christian religion. In other words, they never gave up their own religions. With their own religious beliefs, they came and perched like the birds of the air. You know, if you want to really see what happened to a tree, what happened to a tree when number of birds come and land? I've seen a tree sometimes in this Berry Lake Island, a green tree where I see number of different birds come and land there. And as those birds land there, the green tree after some time become a white tree, because their dirt is there, they are unclean, all the dirt in the tree, plus the smell of the tree is lost. What happened to the mustard tree was, when various birds began to come there and land on the tree, the branches began to go down and the tree became discolored. Not only tree became discolored, the tree lost in the medicinal smell. You see that, no, you any tree, it will happen. If large number of birds come and land on a tree, that tree becomes place of the birds' place. I've seen in Peta and all, you go to those places, a lot of bats and the crows and all lie in trees. So what happened, this small tree, the mustard tree, which is a medicinal tree, when all the birds of the air came in, its branches began going down towards the earth. Not only that, the tree which is green changed the color. Not only changed the color, also the smell is changed, because the dirt of the birds are there, is smelly. Not only the smell is there, but also the noise. Different birds making different noises. Do you know what happened to the church? When it comes to the third age, church changed dramatically. It changed to a place of the fowls of the air. Different religions came in with their own different teachings, different ideas, different rituals, incorporated all into Christianity. That is why today in the Christianity, so-called Christianity, traditional religion, you find so many rituals, traditions, which are not in here. None of them are here. Why? It has been brought by the birds from different religions into this. So the mustard tree is no longer mustard tree, it's a different tree now. It lost its color, lost its smell, it lost its fragrance, everything. So what happens is, this is what happened to the church. Through the government, Roman emperor, he persuaded people to follow the law by combining pagan worship with Christianity. So those who were converted to Roman Christianity were safe from persecution. This attracted men of high societies, the rank, the rich, the noble, the aristocrat, and even pagan priests. Pagan priests also became Christians for the sake of the recognition, sake of the benefits, not for any religious beliefs. These were birds that came to perch on the branches and the shelter for comfort and protection. This bird did not contribute anything to the mustard tree, except their weight and their droppings, which soon weigh down the pollute and pollute the tree, the church. With all these strange birds coming together on the tree, there was a constant noisy chirping, the different calls of different birds. This noise was the argument and debates over certain church affairs. Like what happened to the mustard tree, the true church, now we have so many different ideas, views, and all that even incorporated into so-called Christianity. That's why even today we discuss the cross is not a Christian symbol. It is a symbol which came from a pagan origin. It became a part of the Christianity. Where did it come from? It did not come from Christianity. It came from the very pagan origins. like the birds of the air, came in and corrupted, polluted this genuine true tree. Through the arguments as to whether Lord Jesus was God or man, a teaching stirred by Iris, the priest of Egypt in Alexandria, a council was convened. Now this council in 19 AD 325 were convened by Constantine, the Roman Emperor. The product of this council was the false theological understanding of God was known as Holy Trinity, which is accepted by almost all Christianity today. You know, I must tell you, this Trinity is not doctrine of Christianity. Even Hindus believe in Trinity. There are Hindu gods, Hindu Trinity. Brahma, Vishnu, there are three. It's called Creator, Destroyer and Sustainer. I forget the other name. There's a Hindu Trinity. The Trinity is a concept. Tritva is a concept which is in all religions. Even in Buddhism it's there. Buddha Sangha, Buddha Dhamma Sangha, they believe in that kind of Trinity. So it's just a false teaching which kept in to Christianity. Then see the book of Revelation in the church ages, the third church age. It says unto the angel of the church in the Pergamos, write these things. Saith he that hath sharp sword with the two edges, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have few things against. Now this is a message gives to the third age by the Lord. I have few things against thee, because thou hast, they are them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed unto idols, to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which I hate, things I hate. Repent, or else I will come quickly and will fight against them that's with the sword of my mouth. In that at ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto churches. To him that overcometh will I give him white stone, and a stone new name written, and which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth. Now here, I explained to you the mustard seed, the parable, third parable, but here it speaks about the book of Revelation in the third church age, Pergamos church age. What did he say? I have few things against thee, because thou hast their whole the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. I explained to this. In the things sacrificed unto idol, commit fornication. This is the state of which the Pergamos church age was. The messenger to the Pergamos church age. The time period is start from 312 to 606. The messenger is Saint Martin. The Bible reference is Revelation 2:12-17. The city is Pergamos. This Pergamian age lasted 300 years. This age lasted more than the second age. In this age, Christ standing in the midst of the sharp two-edged sword, he comforts his own and further contends with the doctrines of Balaam and Nicolaitans. You remember when I spoke to you in the second church age, what was there coming strongly? The falsehood, the Nicolaitans' man-made order. And also we talk about the synagogue of Satan. But here in this age, he speaks about the Satan's seat, where Satan dwells. He talks about a Satan's seat where Satan dwells. The messenger, let's begin to understand about the messenger to this age, Saint Martin. As I told you, we understand the messenger to each age the very display of the ministry, power of God ministry in his life. Like Irenaeus, I explained to you, this man Martin was chosen by God as a messenger to that age, which had a similar lifestyle, the character, a message like Paul, like Irenaeus. He was to stay with the original word, rejecting any suggestion to add to human opinion. Now remember, he lives in a time where more pressure from an organized Christianity to add things to his word, take things from his word, to match the pagan requirements. He was born in 315 AD in Hungary. Greater part of his ministry was in France, where he labored and tours as a bishop. Having fought the good fight for the truth, he went to be with the Lord in 399 AD. Prior to his call to the ministry of the gospel, Martin was a professional soldier. He was in the army. Leaving the army, he became a leader in the church. His love for the Lord and his zeal for the word was manifest in his very militant stand against the pagan idolatry. So the pagan was now has crept into the church like the mustard tree, with full of birds from the air. They are not of the part of the tree. They are not part of the tree. They are foreign. Now it is mixed with the paganism, Christianity mixed with paganism. It is known as a Roman Christianity, not as any other Christianity. It is known as Roman Christianity. He cut down, during his ministry, he cut down groves, broke up images, pulled down altars, proclaimed the truth of one and true living God. He proclaimed continuously. Historians acknowledge that on at least three occasions, he raised the dead by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, Martin, during his ministry, history records, during this ministry, he has raised three people from the dead. He has a powerful ministry. His ministry not only with the word, but his ministry followed with signs and wonders. And he needed that because there was so much of pressure for other people to join the organized religion. There was no fear in the eyes of Martin. He stood for the revealed word of God. He had no respect for persons. He did not even fear the emperor. In one occasion, where Martin was even able to go before the emperor, Roman emperor, who was persecuting the two children who are not converted to the Roman Christianity, when Martin stood for the word, in one occasion the history says that he was able to bring fire from heaven to the midst of the Roman emperor, and fear came upon into the Roman Empire through the ministry of Martin. He was a man of prayer. He was able to demonstrate God's glorious power against enemies who came against him by bringing down fire from heaven. You know, here is a ministry of a man. Still God rules. God's power rules. There was an element of people who believe in the truth. And if you believe in the truth, I can tell you that he can receive the power of God, like Martin at that time. And he has absolutely no fear. If you are a genuine Christian, you don't have to have any fear, even fear of death. As I told you, we don't have to fear of death. And this man, because he stood for the word, through his ministry, he was able to raise the dead. Jesus only raised them. Of course, apostles did that. But you hardly hear even today anybody raising dead. But it can happen. Not by might. No by power, but by the Spirit, by His power, by God's power. So he was man of prayer. And he was able to stand against this all paganist Christianity. Because his confirmed commitment to the true word. Too often, men are mightily used with signs and wonders. Following their ministry, they became lifted up with pride. But not so with Martin. What is the characteristic of this man was during this ministry, though God used him like Paul, like Irenaeus, like any other apostles, the amount of miracles that are recorded about this man's ministry, yet he remained a humble man of God. By signs and wonders, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Martin was truly vindicated as a messenger to the Pergamon church age. But not only he was gifted with great ministry, he was himself true to the word of God. It was difficult at that time to become true to the word of God, because the trend and the style is to join the organized religion. Because there are a lot of benefits, because the emperor would give a lot of recognition, benefits and things like that. In a time like that, here is a man who stood for the true word. And God blessed his ministry with power and signs and wonders. In a biography written about him, about Martin, in the history books, it says, no one ever saw him angry, disturbed, grieving or laughing. He was always one and the same and seemed something beyond mortal, wearing on his countenance a sort of celestial joy. Never was anything on his lips but Christ. Never anything in his heart but piety, peace, pity. Many hated him for his virtues they themselves did not possess and could not imitate. Alas, his bitterest assailant was bishops. There were organized Christian leaders who was against him because the kind of ministry that he possessed. And I think he was a real character of Christ-like likeness in him. And if any one of us, if any true servant of God want to be, aspire to be, we have to definitely allow the Spirit to really change us, bring the Son of God in us all the time, like Martin was. An ancient name for the city was Pergam. The city was located in Mysia, in a district watered by three rivers. It was described as the most illustrious city in Asia. It was a city of culture with libraries second only to that of Alexandria. It was a very rich city, the Pergamus. It was a place very much loved by the Romans, Roman Empire, because it was a prosperous place. It was a place of education and things like that. It was a city with great sin given to licentious rites and worship of false gods. Like, you know, modern religions, modern cities, you find, when the city prospers, the sin also prospers. You know, city becomes more trade-related and more kind of things comes, then you find so many false religions was the call of the day. Not only that, there was so much of sin in that city. And to the angel of the church in Pergamus, write these things, saith he, that the sharp two-edged sword. Now here the message, Lord is beginning to give the message to the third church age, the Pergamos church. To the angel of the church in Pergamos, right? These things said he which has a sharp sword with two edges. In the Ephesian age he was revealed as the unchanging God. In the Smyrna age, he is the one true God. In the Pergamon age, he is revealed as the sharp two-edged sword. This sword, the word of God, one with sharp sword, two edges, is standing in the midst of the church, exercising his authority and power. In this age, he stands with two-edged sword, warning that except they manage repentance, he would come and fight against them with the sword of his mouth. As I explained to you many times, the sword refers to the word. The eternal word gives to us the sword to defend ourselves against the attacks of Satan. You can only defend yourself against the attack of Satan through the word, like Jesus did. Jesus said, it is written, he brought the word and defend every power of darkness. And he says, see, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, And thou holdest my fast my name, has not denied my faith. Even those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. To all ages, Jesus simply says, I know thy works. You remember in the first age, second age, he continues this message and says, I know thy works, referring to the genuine true people. Now, the Lord knows all our condition, what we do. Nothing can be hidden. And Jesus knows our work, whether they be according to his word or contrary. Jesus judges every church individual by his word. Everything the Lord judges, if there is any judgment that is going to come upon all of us, all the organized religion, all the Christians, the churches and individuals, judgment is going to be by his word. And when it is judged like that, it's going to be very, very difficult to face. Jesus commends his elect children for holding fast to the revelation of his name. Remember, the commendation comes to a group of people in this age. And what is the commendation? He says, for commendation for holding fast to his name in an age when false divine influence was pushing aside the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in favor of titles. Now here you find that Jesus comes very strongly and says that you are holding on to my name. What happens here, this is the age the name began to be lost, the third age. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ gradually pushed out of the church in this age. Instead of that, the traditional pagan, traditional methods of teachings comes in. In the 3rd century, actual name was begin to lose its significance for a lot of profiting Christians. The Trinity teaching, the three persons in Godhead becomes a cardinal doctrine and false divine church age. You know, it is during this church age, the doctrine of three God in one was hatched. It is not a doctrine which comes from the Bible, word of God. Even the word Trinity, not even in the Bible. It's not there. And it is concocted in the year 325 by an Egyptian priest, not even a Christian. It's an Egyptian priest who concocted this theory and brought and introduced to the Roman emperor. And the Roman emperor pronounced it, okay, this is the correct way of God. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in deed or in word, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't it say? Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in deed or in word, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is lost to the church. The false divine church established the ritual of doing everything in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Name was excluded. All the blessings people are given in that. The baptism in the name or the titles. A teaching in the second age, now doctrine in the third age. This teaching now becomes a firm doctrine of the church in this age. The revelation of the name would be lost to the true wine church until the seventh church age. You know, during this age, this aspect of Godhead was lost. The doctrine of Trinity, three gods in one, it becomes the doctrine of the Christian organized religion. People believe that as the truth. People believe that as the original, whereas it is totally lost to the genuine true church in that age, in the third age. And that is why Jesus says, you hold fast to my name. What is the message to the church age? You have the guts, you have the conviction to hold fast to my name. That's the message to the church age. Never lose the significance of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name for man's salvation. In the Pergamon church age, human church leadership caused people to trust in the church membership, human priestly authority, than what the word says. As I told you today, as I told at the beginning about the image of God, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the life of the blood is in the spirit, and the life of the spirit, you know where? It's in the name. Life of the spirit of any true children of God or any one of us is in the name. There is no other name given. There is no other name. And that's why we are supposed to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you pray to anybody saying, Father, in the name of the Father, nothing will happen. I can guarantee you. Of course, demons will take control of that and do various things. But there is power in the name. And that's the power Martin stood for. And it is through that name that he was able to raise the dead. It is through that name that he was able to bring fire from heaven. And he was able to do many wonderful things. It is through the name. And even through the apostles was able to do that through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is lost during the third age. And some of the faithful ones paid high price for holding fast to his name. They held fast to his name and not denying his faith in the word. Now see this Antipas. In the Revelation, the book of Revelation mentioned about this Antipas. It is very important to find out why his name was mentioned. Nobody cares to do this. The Antipas, he says, he was a martyr. He was killed. Because here it says here, I'll show you in the... Yeah, it says here, Revelation 2:3, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and not denied my faith, referring to the word. Even though this Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Why was Antipas was slain? I'll tell you why. Antipas rejected the false teachings, particularly the doctrine of Trinity. He rejected this concocted new doctrine brought by an Egyptian priest and endorsed by the Roman Emperor Constantine as the true of the word. He denied that. And he held fast to the name. And he held fast to the doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was one of the servants of God in the Pergamon church age who stood for the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. History records. You go to the history and find out this about this man Antipas. That's the fault he had. And because of that, the Bible says, he paid the price with his life for standing for this truth. In the second church age, Jesus spoke of the false vine church being synagogue of Satan. In this age, he calls the Satan seat where Satan dwells. Now remember, in the Smyrna church age, it is called the synagogue of Satan. It becomes a synagogue of Satan, because what happens is in a gathering, is a gathering of people belong, not belong to God. But here is in this age, he says, he calls it Satan's seat, where Satan dwells. In the Pergamon church age, this place is Pergamos, is called, the title that was given to Smyrna was synagogue of Satan. But title given to Pergamos is the Satan seat where Satan dwells. This is the beginning of concocted Christianity. history will take us back to Genesis and show Satan's seat is in the beginning and go beyond the Genesis, traced down to Pergamos in this age. You know where Satan's seat was in the beginning? Even before Adam and Eve was created in this present our age, there was a time when God created Lucifer, the archangel. And he was a created being who also was created in the very image of God. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28, he was an anointed cherub. Anointed means God anointed him. And he was not only anointed cherub, he was able to move about in the presence of God, which is called the Holy Mountains. And then God looked at Lucifer and said, "You are perfect in all your ways." As I explained to you during the image of God, the Lucifer was all-powerful archangel. God entrusted many things to him. He was so powerful, and what did he do? He one day decided that he will ascend to the highest position, beyond the stars, like God, that he would receive worship. He always was looking for a seat where he could receive the worship like God. Because so much of power was given by God to Lucifer, he was absolutely nothing but the second to God in every aspect. And therefore he realized, now I have only one thing to do, is to place myself in the place where God is and receive worship. So it goes back to the time, even beyond the time of Adam and Eve, where Lucifer decided and desired a seat, the seat of God. What? For receive worship. Now that is why we have, if you go back to the history, we find that. In Ezekiel, Satan first attempted to establish his seat of authority over above the throne of God. He also aspired to exalt himself above the stars of God, set in the temple and be worshipped as God. That was his plan. Only way he is able to partially fulfill this aspiration is the seat. He would have to impersonate God and do what he is doing. Deceive people into thinking they are following and worshipping God. At that time, he desired to have that position to receive worship. So what happens is, from that time, Lucifer, from the time he was cast down, to become Satan, to be devil, he aspired to that position which he lost, to have a seat, to do what? To receive worship. And that's why we find that same thing is happening even in these church ages, where he creates certain system through deceit and falsehood to receive worship instead of God being worshipped. In the beginning, Satan placed his seat in the midst of the garden to mislead Eve. He came and placed himself in the midst of the garden. And thereafter, through Cain, the seed of Cain, the midst of the true seed of Adam. And after the floods, and when Noah and his family began to repopulate the earth, Satan once again sought to interfere with the plan of God. I'm not going to go into details of this because of the time, but I explained to you this during the image of God. Cutting short, Satan identifies a seed whom he can use to have his seat of deceit to receive worship. What did he do? he began to identify that his seed. You remember Cain, the seed of the serpent, which was used by Satan to mislead, to bring some sort of a confusion into the children of God. Now he used a man called Nimrod, son of Cush, who began this false religion in this world. The false religion what we have in this world today has its origins into Babel, the Babylon. Whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, any you name, any religion in this world. All this religion, whether it's Hinduism, which is very old, and it traced back to this period in the Babylonian time, in the time of Nimrod, where he set up a false religion. The false religion, which is under this Babylonian name. Babel is the original name of Babylon, which means confusion. From Babylon came the worship of false gods. The first worship of mother and child, the religious tradition which started, trace all the way back to the 3rd century. Infiltration and impersonation of Christianity became the seat of Satan. So what happens is the original seat of Satan was with the false religion traced back to Babylon, the Babylonian religion. Even one time, the Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian emperor, he erected a huge statue in the place called Plain of Dura, in the height of his power. And he told, because at that time the world was one empire, and that one empire was, first empire was Babylonian, we find Babylonian empire first, Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. The four great empires in the world who ruled the world. So the Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of the Babylonian Empire, he erected a huge statue and he told everybody under his authority, every nation, every tongue, every nation, the Bible says, every tongue, every nation, every kindred has to bow down and worship that image which he has erected, image of a man. So that's the beginning of the false religion in this world. And it branched out into various sectors, various small subgroups under different founders, different names and different various religious orders. But the trace back to the Babylon, which is the seat of Satan, which he established there by none other than the seed of Canaan, which came through the floods. You know, seed of Canaan, which he planted in the Garden of Eden, come with these new ideas and set up this new religion in Babylon. So, the Babylon is the seed of Satan, which create problem for the Pergamos Church Age. In the Pergamos Church Age, he says here in this scripture, I know thy works and where thy dwelt. Oldest past, my name has not denied my faith. Who is slain among you where Satan dwells? And it also says here, it says the seat of, sorry, I can't find that, okay. It says where Satan dwells and the seat of Satan. Now, this seed of Satan, which has its traces in the Babylonian religious order, now comes and lands itself in the very presence of the Christianity, where in the church age, and where he begin to dictate the falsehood, the false religions, false teachings, throw away the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, brings the things of the pagan religion. Remember the mustard tree. Seed becomes a tree. A tree with fragrance, with so much of attraction, finally totally change into a tree which is despised. In that parable it says, the birds of the air comes and lands, corrupt the place, change the total outlook of that tree. And that's what happens there. It is no longer a tree which is desired. It is no longer a tree which has the reflection of the true Church of Jesus Christ. So the false paganism has become a part of Christianity. And the true message, the true teachings of the Word of God is taken away. And that's what happens in the church age, or the third church age. I'm not finished with that. There's more to go into the third church age. I will do next Sunday. But I want to tell you, in each church age, there was an element of people who held on to the word, who stood for the name. And those group of people had the power of God. And they were able to demonstrate in their lives the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, they were able to demonstrate the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were able to bring even fire from heaven and display the majestic power of God. Like Martin, who was able to raise from the dead, there was an element of people. In the same way, in each age, there was a true and genuine seed and a false seed. Whereas false seed celebrated the falsehood and false things, and the recognition that they received from the people, where the true seed always experienced persecution, like a true genuine child always experienced for the name. Today, even in our midst, in the Christianity, in this present modern day, how much time people give to the name. And he says, in this age, thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith. Like this Antipas, who held on to the truth. How many people who are willing to hold on to the truth? And if you are holding on to the truth, to his word, the Lord can make things happen. This morning I said in our fellowship, why there are not much miracles happening today? Why there are not many things God, people are struggling to receive? Is nothing because of God? It is absolutely because the people do not have the revelation of the true word. And they do not have the Spirit of God in them. And if you allow the Spirit of God to work in your life, and that Spirit would definitely make sure, as God said in his word, word will conform with signs and wonders. And I'm sure there are people in our midst also who are looking forward for various things. But I want to assure you, even tonight, like Pergamos church, there's falsehood even in our midst. There's so much of tradition in the name of Christianity. We have to take what is given to us by his word. As I showed in the beginning, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And the truth of God will set us free from traditions, falsehood, false religion, false teachings to his truth. And if you have his word in you, and the word will conform with signs and wonders. I will conclude tonight and will continue next Sunday the continuation of the Pergamos church age, because there are so many things, important messages given in this church age to this church, which is relevant to you and me even in our churches, in our time, because we are going to go through some important aspects of the time life of that church, which lasted nearly 300 years. It is during this time that Christianity was organized, tradition was incorporated into Christianity. Christianity was known as a Roman Christian religion, which subsequently became a Roman Catholic Church, which is supposed to be the so-called church, Mother Church. But I must tell you, they are far from the truth. They don't hold to the truth, nor to the name. They hold to something man-made. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us. And as Brother Ravi comes,